Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome all of you to our conference call this morning. The underlying presentation for the call has been published this morning at 7:30 a.m. CET on our website. Today, we release the statement for the first 9 months of the financial year 2023-24. We are going to present the highlights of this period and revisit our full-year group earnings guidance for business year 23-24 that has been confirmed today. Following the call, we are going to answer your questions. A recording of this call will be available on our homepage shortly after the call. Now let me hand over to CFO Thomas Kölbl.
Thank you, Nikolai. Ladies and gentlemen, also a warm welcome from my side to all of you and a happy and healthy new year. As mentioned, I would like to give you a brief overview about the strong business performance in the first 9 months of financial year 23-24 and details about the confirmed earnings guidance for 23-24. Furthermore, I will illustrate the main points of our delisting tender offer for all outstanding Group Energy shareholders. Let me start with the highlights of the first 9 months results on page 5. First of all, let me underline very clearly that Sutsu Group has achieved an outstanding performance in the first 9 months of business year 23-24. Group revenue showed an increase of about 700 million euro or 10% to 7.8 billion euro. Group EBITDA was up by more than 300 million euro to 1.1 billion euro or 40%. And group operating result by more than 300 million euro to 860 million euro, or 60%. Cash flow increased by 39% and reached 917 million euro. Earnings per share after 9 months came in at 2.49 euro against 1.30 euro last year. Net financial debt end of November came in 33 million euro below prior year's level. And this is a great achievement and confirmation of the guided development during fiscal 23-24, following comparative improvements since quarter one and quarter two. And that positive development will continue in quarter four. Now let's have a look into the segmental performance on page 6. Group revenues increased significantly by 673 million euro to 7.8 billion euro, mainly driven by the sugar, special products, and food segments. Group operating result increased by 324 million euro to 860 million euro. This increase was mainly driven by the sugar and special products segments. Now I would like to reiterate the main points about the delisting tender offer for Group Energies on page 8. On 19th of December, we announced an important step for Südzucker Group, the delisting tender offer for Group Energies shareholders, which we explained in an analyst call on 20th of December. The respective conference call presentation can be found on the transaction page, powerofplansoffer.com. We are pleased to start implementing a simpler and stronger group structure focused on promising future businesses in line with our announced strategy. The current corporate and governance structure of the group are not ideal. Besides Südzucker, Group Energies as one of our core businesses and key strategic pillars, especially towards bio-based chemicals and proteins, is also listed, which ultimately leads to a complex structure of double-listed entities. Group Energies entered the public market in 2006 to help facilitate the expansion of becoming the leading provider of ethanol in Europe. After 17 years of own capital market standing, which served the company well for many years, this setup is no longer appropriate in the current environment and stage of the business development. As a volatile commodity-based business, the business model offers limited capital market compatibility and hence, the separate listing has been under review for some time, and it has been concluded is no longer necessary. As we look forward, now is the right time to address this legal structure, which no longer benefits either side of shareholders nor the company itself. The announcement reflects careful consideration of the best solution to resolve these issues created by our present structure. As we look to the future and try to prepare ourselves for the challenges and chances ahead of us, we want to simplify the capital structure and de-risk the decision-making process within Südzucker Group. The envisaged transaction entails a delisting offer according to paragraph 39 German Takeover Code to all free float shareholders of Provenergies. The special conditions of such a delisting offer require Südzucker to compensate Provenergies shareholders in cash as it results in the subsequent delisting of Provenergies stocks from the regulated market of German stock exchanges. The delisting offer does come without any conditions precedent and therefore offers maximum deal certainty for Südzucker. Furthermore, the delisting at the end of the offer is not conditional to a certain threshold of shares being tendered into the offer and, hence, includes a certain automatism and therefore addresses all our objectives. For Provenergies shareholders, the delisting offer provides an attractive cash event and the opportunity to tender, sell their shares at a reasonable premium prior to the listing of shares. If Provenergies shareholders would like to continue participating in the interesting development of ethanol and bio-based chemicals, they have the opportunity to reinvest their proceeds into the shares at an attractive valuation compared to the price offered for their Provenergies shares. Let's continue on page 9. For the listing offer, we are required to offer cash compensation to the outstanding Provenergies shareholders. The minimum compensation is the 8 months volume-weighted average share price prior to the announcement, which amounts to €8.41 per share, and is higher than the unaffected share price as of 18th December of €6.79 due to the adverse share price performance over the past 13 months. We are convinced to offer a fair price of €11.50 per share, which reflects the full valuation of Provenergies after taking private. With this offer price, we pay a premium to the current as well as to the longer-term average share price of Provenergies, which should therefore be attractive for shareholders accepting the offer. €11.50 represents a premium of 37% to the 6 month VWAP we would be required to pay, and even 69% to the unaffected share price as of 18th December of €6.79 per share. Compensation is a cash payment which will be paid once the offer closes, presumably by the end of February 24, and which represents the offer price for each Provenergies share tendered free of charge. The transaction has a 100% deal certainty as the offer does not contain any conditions precedent nor are regulatory approvals required. Once the responsible authority, BaFin, has approved the offer document, which is submitted 5th of January, the offer period commences. Specifically, the offer will also close independent of the numbers of shares that will be tendered during the offer. Please note that for any delisting offer, there will be no additional acceptance period during which shares can be tendered. Therefore, the offer period during which shareholders can accept this offer and tender their shares is the last chance of Provenergies shareholders to sell their shares at a fair price before the listing at the regulated market will be terminated and the trading of remaining shares will be much more difficult. The offer also provides an excellent opportunity to those Provenergies shareholders that would like to continue to participate in the group's development to reinvest the proceeds from the delisting offer in Südzucker shares. By reducing the number of listings within the group, we expect that the attractiveness of the Südzucker shares, its liquidity and visibility will ultimately increase with all the benefits for the group and shareholders. Let's continue on page 10. We're confident that the delisting offers the right step towards a more efficient and more attractive Südzucker Group, and is also supported by our main shareholder, SZVG, who has been a core shareholder of CropEnergies from the day of the IPO. Our offer was also positively received by CropEnergies management and supervisory board. CropEnergies and Südzucker have signed a delisting agreement in which CropEnergies corporate bodies commit to apply for the delisting at the regulated market and support the offer. The management board and the supervisory board will publish a recent opinion 2 weeks following the start of the offer period. With our announcement to launch this delisting offer, SZVG, the main shareholder of Südzucker, stake of 4.9% has been separately sold to Südzucker at the same price as the offer price. This step has become effective with the announcement of the delisting agreement, which increased our shareholding in CropEnergies from 69.2% to 74.1%. As of today, including the additional purchased shares, Südzucker holds already close to 80% of CropEnergies shares. The support signaled by these key shareholders not only underlines the appropriateness of this decision, but also reflects the demand from our investors and the market to simplify the governance structure and complexity of our group. We feel that this transaction marks a true starting point to further advance our mutual goals in a much better structure and setup, and we will use this positive momentum to continue to work on our strategy for the benefit of all our shareholders and employees. As mentioned, for further information, please refer to the transaction webpage, also including the timeline and next milestones of the transaction. In order not to become too extensively today, we will streamline the remaining part of the presentation and concentrate only on selected main points starting on page 12 of the sugar market. First of all, let me revisit the view on the global sugar market. This latest update in December for the last sugar marketing year 2022-23, S&P Global, as one of the leading consultancies, has changed its view from formerly expecting a balanced market to a small surplus of 1.2 million tons. The stock-to-use ratio stays low at 36%. For the current sugar market year 2023-24, the forecast from December has changed from a small surplus of 1 million tons to a new expectation of a 4.4 million tons surplus. The stock-to-use ratio is expected to increase to 38%, which is still a moderate level in historic terms. Besides the S&P view, it is important to note that many other consultancies do still expect no merger surplus for 2023-24. Further important to note is that all consultancies predict a further increase in the global demand also in the sugar market year 2023-24. The S&P December forecast for 2023-24 is still at an early stage. There are major uncertainties, particularly with regards to the further development of El Niño weather phenomenon, the duration of which cannot be precisely forecasted, and could well develop additional adverse effects in 2022-24. A certain nervousness in the market is therefore not surprising. Further developments must be therefore be monitored closely. Due to the fact that we have already concluded more than 90% of the contract volume for the 23-24 sugar marketing year at a good price level, there is currently no immediate need for action. Let's have a look at the European market on page 13. Despite the difficult sowing and growing conditions in the EU, harvest prospects along the way have improved, but actual harvest conditions are very wet and therefore rather challenging. Overall, also with the expected recovered production level, the EU will remain net importer in 2023-24. Südzucker expects to increase campaign days significantly from 107 to about 120 days 2023 sugar campaign, resulting in an expected sugar production from beet of 3.8 million tons against 3.2 million tons in the previous year. Besides this, let me revisit and update the situation around the Ukraine. The EU has decided to suspend customs duties and quantitative restrictions on sugar imports from Ukraine since June 22 until June 24. As a result, more than 400,000 tons were imported in the EU sugar market in the year 22-23. In the current sugar market in the year 23-24, the Ukraine expects a significant increase in sugar production from the previous average of 1.2 million tons to more than 1.6 million tons from the 23 campaign. This more than covers the country's own requirements and increases the export potential accordingly. According to preliminary figures, in the first 3 months of the corresponding period, imports into the EU are about 10% up against previous year's level. The further development has to be monitored closely. To what extent this will influence EU market has to be seen. For example, the further development of already executed export volumes of EU sugar producers. Nevertheless, it is all the more important to underline again, especially in this market environment, that we succeeded in achieving our original objective of keeping sales prices stable at a high level in the contract negotiation for the sales period from October 23 to September 24. Let's continue with the development in segment sugar on page 14. Revenues in the sugar segments increased significantly. The increase was achieved despite declining sales volumes due to the poor 22 harvest, thanks to significantly higher prices. As already communicated, the price level in the 23-24 sugar marketing year confirms the high level reached in the 22-23 sugar marketing year. Operating result shows a very strong performance. The drastic rise in costs, particularly for raw materials and energy, was offset by higher prices since the end of the last financial year. The further significant increase in production costs in the new 2023 campaign has so far only had a minor impact in the third quarter. Now, as said, we will keep the further detailed segmental development for this presentation and ask you to have a look into the respective quarterly statement. Let's continue with selected points, starting with P&L on page 20. The result from restructuring and special items amounted to minus 18 million euro, primarily due to an impairment of fixed assets at the food segment's Asian production facilities. The at-equity result was almost exclusively driven by the sugar and starch segments. The financial result came in at minus 95 million euro. It includes net interest expense of minus 63 million euro and other financial expense of minus 32 million euro. The higher interest expense is the result of the year-on-year increase in average debt of around 390 million euro to around 2 billion euro. At the same time, average interest rates rose from 1% to around 2.9%. The downturn in the other financial result was mainly due to exchange rate losses from foreign currency loans of non-euro companies and the complete disposal of a minority interest in the special product segment in the second quarter of 2023-24. Let's continue on page 21. Taxes on income came in at 152 million euro after 107 million euro in the same period last year, with a reduction of the underlying tax rate down to 20%. Earnings per share came in at 2 euro 49 against 1 euro 30 cent in the prior year. Let me now turn to the cash flow, working capital and investment development on page 23. Cash flow increased in the first 9 months by 258 million euro to 917 million euro. The cash flow against revenues ratio improved after 9 months to 11.8% against 9.3% in 2022-23. Cash outflow from the increase in working capital during the first 9 months of 2023-24 of €133 million, following a cash outflow of €368 million in the same period of the previous year, was primarily due to the revenues-related growth in trade receivables as the increase in, and the increase in sugar inventories as a result of higher raw material and energy costs, which could only be partially offset by the increase in liabilities to beet crops. Investment in fixed assets reached €328 million against €268 million in the last year. Investments in financial assets and acquisitions were marginal. Let me now move forward looking at the balance sheet on page 25. Net financial debt end of November was €1.6 billion. As expected, the year-on-year increase in net financial debt decreased significantly from €594 million at the end of the first quarter to €334 million at the end of the second quarter, now even €33 million ahead of last year's level. The temporary year-on-year increase is mainly due to the higher working capital financing requirements in segment sugar, as mentioned before. Overall, working capital increased temporarily by 16% or €442 million from about €2.7 to €3.1 billion in comparison to last year. Gearing is at 36% against 39% last year. Equity ratio is at 46% against 44% 1 year ago. Let me now turn to the outlook on pages 27 to 31. Ladies and gentlemen, also we are all tired of following the numerous ongoing crisis. It's also our duty as management to point out to stakeholders again and again that this crisis still exists and can have a significant impact on our business. The direct impact of the situation in Ukraine and on the sugar EU market mentioned before is just one example. Last time we have adjusted our group forecast was on 12th of October. At that time, we have raised the group operating result guidance by €50 million to our new range of €900 million to €1 billion. Since then, CropEnergies, lower ethanol prices, has lowered its forecast in two steps, down from a range of €95 to €145 million to €40 to €60 million now. This has been a total reduction of €70 million. According to our best knowledge, we are able to keep our group guidance of a range of €900 million to €1 billion. Also, it is more challenging to reach the midpoint of this guidance. On page 27, we are going to revisit our current guidance. For fiscal year 2023-24, we expect group revenues to come in between €10 and €10.5 billion. For group operating profit, we expect a range of €900 million to €1 billion. In segment sugar, we expect an earnings range between €550 and €650 million. Segment special products operating result is expected to come in significantly above the pre-year level. Segment crop energy's operating result expected to range between €40 and €60 million. Segment starch should see a significantly lower operating result. Segment food earnings are expected to increase significantly. Let me continue with page 28. The group EBITDA range is confirmed to come in between €1.3 and €1.4 billion. CapEx is now expected to increase to about €500 million, mainly driven by measures to achieve sustainability targets, especially in the sugar, special products, and crop energy segments, for example, as within the SBTA framework. Let me continue with page 29. Really good news is that despite higher working capital needs, net financial debt is now expected to come in €200 to €300 million below last year's level, representing €1 to €1.50 per share. We have significantly improved our expectations against our former view of no change against previous year's level. The development is compared on a like-for-like basis and does not take into account the payment made to CropEnergies shareholders as part of the delisting tender offer. The absolute amount of this payment will only be fully determined at the end of February after the end of the offer period. Let us now come to the end of the presentation, page 31. Ladies and gentlemen, the percentage figures are strong and clearly underpin that Südzucker Group is back on track, delivering strong and well-diversified structural cash flows. Last year, we explained that we want to increase the headroom by improving earnings and thus freeing up funds to proactively shape Südzucker's future. Sooner than expected, we have reached this milestone with an expected EBITDA of 1.3 to 1.4 billion euro in fiscal 2024. Well considered and continuing to keep a clear eye on reducing net debt, we intend to use the opportunities to systematically pursue our strategic goals. This will enable us to safeguard what we have achieved, prepare the company even better for the fluctuations of the future, and thus contribute to a sustainable profitability level and create long-term value. The delisting tender offer for the outstanding CropEnergies shareholders fits perfectly with this objective. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for your attention. We are looking forward to your questions.
Thank you, Thomas. Let me hand back to the operator and open up for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. And the first question comes from Alex Sloan from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the questions. Got a couple on segment sugar. You talked about, the further increases in production costs only being a minor impact so far in Q3. So I was wondering if you could give any color on what we should be expecting Q4 relative to Q3 on this front, and indeed, fiscal year 24-25 relative to fiscal year 23-24, maybe as a percentage increase based on what you expect today. And the second one, just on sugar, I think I heard that you said that the Ukrainian exports into the EU were running 10% higher year over year so far. That doesn't seem massive given the scale of the production increase that you talked about, 1.2 to 1.6. So do you think that that level picks up the pace, or where else is that extra sugar production going? And then just finally, can I just check? I heard, Thomas, did you say you thought it would be more challenging to reach the midpoint of the guidance given the CropEnergies announcement? Thanks.
Let me start with the Ukraine one. Yes, it is right. The statistics, the information so far which are available, shown only an increase of 10% so far in the first 2 months. Clearly is the average production volume in the past was 1.3, and that was also the number in the campaign 22, if I'm right. And so the forecast for the current 23 campaign in the Ukraine is 1.6. So there is room in max for additional volume of 300,000 tons, more than in the last year. And as said in the speech, we have to follow that further development very closely. How big will the increase against the 400,000 tons we have seen in the sugar market in 22-23. Surely, Alex, there are a lot of points which come in play, for example, also to build up the logistic flow, logistic channels, etc. So we have to carefully monitor that development. The good point I mentioned in the speech is that we have closed more than 90-95% of our sugar for the forecasted sugar production for the campaign 23 so far. To say what to the first one that is you asked is that the what I said in the speech that we have so far in quarter three only a minor impact of the higher production cost of the campaign 2023. That is right, and this effect will be then fully in the quarter four when we then sell only going forward sugar from the new campaign with the higher costs. We forecast because it's very early, campaign is running, etc. It's a difficult campaign, wet weather, etc., higher logistic costs. But with the best knowledge today is that we calculate with €100 a ton higher production costs. We have the good sales levels, but no further increase, but we could keep the higher sales level. So there is clearly pressure on the gross margin going forward from the fourth quarter onwards. And you said it, you can look on the fourth quarter, also on the sugar guidance, that profitability will go down, but still is there, and this is a situation that we also foresee for the coming quarters, decreasing sugar profits, but still a good profitability, to be here also very clear. And the last one, Alex, was yes, we have. It is really very early, also for the let me say final production cost. As I said, so there are some uncertainties also in the figure for the final file and final figures. And we have the two ad hoc releases of GlobEnergies in a total €17 million less profitability due to the extreme decrease of ethanol size, and that clearly brings pressure on the group guidance, and we stick to that guidance. And this is, as I said, more challenging than it was in at the following H1, clearly.
Okay, thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Oliver Schwarz from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my questions. Congratulations on the good Q3 results. A couple of questions from my side, please. Adding to Alex's questions that he just posed, in regard to the bioethanol price, obviously that has been depressed for quite a bit now. Can you explain the underlying mechanics that keep the bioethanol price under pressure? Is that expected to continue in the short and midterm? Do you see any tendencies to in regard to the overall situation that could spell changes? That would be my first question.
Yeah, Oliver. Clearly, ethanol sales prices decreased significantly. We have that clearly not on the radar. Also in October, November, there we have a rebound from that low levels up to 800, close to 900 euros. And over the last 7-8 weeks, we have seen a dramatic decrease. There are a lot of points in play. From our view is that the fundamentals in the EU are still intact. The demand is good. It should also increase next year due to further blending introductions in, for example, also in Poland. But when we are looking on the global markets on North America as well in Brazil, the prices are also on a low level that has brought some room for imports in the last month. And we believe that these things will calm down and should bring the possibility that over the next month, ethanol prices should recover.
Thank you. My next question is obviously on the performance in the sugar segment. Firstly, you alluded to indirectly to the improvement of the overall situation by stating that Crop Energies has cut its guidance a few times. Südzucker saw no need to do so. That's most probably due to a better than expected performance in the sugar and probably also in the specialty product segment. Can you flesh out what was better than originally anticipated that helped you to retain your annual guidance? That would be my second question.
When focus, then I think the main point that we could keep the guidance was a better profitability in the special products segment, as well as to some extent also in the food segment.
Yeah, I got that just by looking on the numbers, and I fully agree with your assessment. But in comparison to your original anticipations, what drove those improvements that were obviously higher or better than you originally anticipated?
Yeah, in special products was clearly the better margins we reached over the quarters in the year, that we fully could cover the higher inflation costs in that business areas. Volumes are very good in comparison to that what we assumed in the other quarters. So that are the main drivers, and then also a better than expected performance of the food preparation business here, especially in Europe as well as in North America and Middle America, Mexico. We have seen good developments.
Okay, so yeah, right. And thirdly, I'd like to ask, you talked about the fine details of the Crop Energies transaction and gave the reasoning for Südzucker acquiring the remaining outstanding shares of Crop Energies, which I fully understand and applaud to as well. However, that is basically addressing one of the two elephants in the room. I haven't heard the name of the other elephant yet, and I didn't saw it in the presentation as well. Agrana obviously also contributes to the complexity of your group. Obviously, the situation with Agrana is significantly different from Crop Energies, especially in regards to what stake you currently hold in that subsidiary. Are there any plans to rectify the situation in Agrana that are similar or perhaps even different from the Crop energy situation in the short or midterm?
Clearly, no, not at that point, clearly. Clearly, in contrast to Crop Energy, we are in a different starting position. We have a other constellation, and we hold the majority here together with our Austrian partner. So currently, no.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for answering my three questions. I'll go back into the line. Thank you.
Thank you, Oliver.
As a reminder, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one at this time. And we have a follow-up question from Oliver Schwarz from Marburg Research. Please go ahead.
Welcome back.
What you get from trying to be polite. So thank you for taking my follow-up question. In regards to the sugar price, it seems like when looking on your chart on page 13, thank you for providing that, it seems like the spot price is now on par or even below the EU reporting price, which is mostly driven by contract prices of the European sugar producers. Also, the international sugar price has also taken a hit and is significantly below its peak level that it has in the second half of 2023. The contract price being on the same level of the spot price normally tends to spell that the contract price are likely to go down once the next round of price negotiation is around. And so that basically spells out, at least to me, that if the situation is sustainable as we have it today, that we might see a significant reduction in the contract price come October 2024. On the other hand, you stated that your production costs have gone up by approximately 100 euro per ton. Given the uncertainty of the Ukraine situation and also the increasing surplus on the world market that you alluded to in your presentation, what level of pricing would Südzucker need in the current setup and costs environment to achieve break even?
Oliver, thank you for this very complex one. Really looking in the future. First of all, I think I would like to give some points to the three price curves you mentioned. Yeah, the contract price curve, the world market price curve, and the spot price curve. As every year in the campaign period, the spot price curve is coming under pressure because then sugar is available. That's really the first point. Clearly, this year we have now seen the dramatic decrease in world market prices that brought also pressure on the spot prices. And maybe coming back to that, what Alex asked, this is also a reason, this low spot price level in the EU, that it is not attractive for Ukraine imports currently to go into the EU, maybe to go in other destinations. Yeah. And everything to predict is really too early. I think on what I mentioned in the speech, there are a lot of consultancies outside. Everybody has another view on the development on the world market. Important is global demand is increasing. It is very early what will happen. And still, also if things will come, in that scenario, which is on the table for Standard & Poor's, we will still stay on a low stock-to-use ratio in historic terms. That has to be clear. And also a world market price level of $600-$650 US dollar is a very high one, to be also very clear. And the last one, it's too early to talk about the future, but this is a momentum when we talk about then the increase in production costs for the campaign 2023. And there will be a new gain beginning from October 24 onwards, not only price-wise, also cost-wise. So clearly it's too early. We have now a good future, a good view for the development up to September. As I said, lower in sugar, the sugar operating profits, but still on a good level, still high EBITDAs, and that is the starting point up to September.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Basically housekeeping ones. Can you remind me the restructuring costs in Q3? I think it was 15 million, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell me what was what created that position basically?
It was an asset impairment in the segment food in the division food preparation on Asian factory assets. It was in China and in Korea, due to the bad economic development over the last quarters.
Okay, thank you for that. And lastly, when we are looking at investments in regards to expanding value chains, both at Crop Energies and at Südzucker, can you give us an update? I know from Crop Energies that they had started to, and you also put that down in your presentation on the acetyl part of the business. Can you highlight what's going on in the plans for producing ethylene from bioethanol? And also, basically, can you give something that is a bit more concrete on what Südzucker is going to invest in regards to the move into food, let's say proteins from sugar, basically value chains in the next fiscal year.
Oliver, as also Global Energy mentioned in the call yesterday, we stick also on Südzucker side. To the plans of Crop Energies, but clearly, as in every business field, we will monitor, we will adjust that year by year. Also for the business line, Crop Energies said it has identified, but for the next 50, no change in ethyl acetate, etc., in this parameters which are out.
Okay. And from Südzucker's part, any update in regard to that?
No, I think we really fulfill our long term plans, CO2 reduction, etc., investment also in sugar facilities to lower energy costs, etc. No merger and major projects we have to flag here in the call. Maybe a new setup then in the analyst call in May.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's it for my follow-up questions.
And we do have another follow-up question from Alex Sloan from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the follow-up. It was actually on segment starch. I know, obviously, not a focus of the presentation today, but the guidance is for significantly lower EBIT year over year within the, you know, within the group context. Can you remind us? I mean, obviously ethanol prices are a part of that, but is there any impact there from greater competition of starch imports into the into the EU from low cost competition? We have heard that from some peers in other elements of you know, food starch in particular. Are you seeing that as well, or is the guidance more related to the ethanol price?
We have two or three points. First of all, we have GDP driven lower starch volumes. Yeah, we are specialty starch producer, and we have a big outlet in the construction as well as in the paper industry, and they are facing challenging times. This hurts also our volumes. Yeah. Second, you mentioned we Lighting Group Energies. We predict substantially lower ethanol prices for quarter four, and that are then, let me say, the main reasons.
Okay, thank you. That was it from my side.
So there are no further questions at this time. So I hand back to Nikolai Baltruschat for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all for participating today in our call. And as always, for additional questions, don't hesitate calling us. Thank you and goodbye.